From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Naps Chat for the year 2021. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. A lot has happened since Naps Chat took a one-week hiatus. Most prominent were acts of insurrection waged on Wednesday by a presidentially inspired mob who desecrated the U.S. Capitol, America's holy temple of our democratic republic. Those who incited or committed sedition failed to stop our elected representatives from conducting the people's business and certifying the tabulation of the 2020 Electoral College. Later on this podcast, I will host one of the congressional heroes of that day, Representative Jason Crow of Colorado, who helped secure the House of Representatives chamber and helped to protect and offer comfort to his congressional colleagues. In fact, Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy identified Representative Crow when the House was able to reconvene as one of the heroes of the day. My conversation with Representative Crow preceded the events of the insurrection, so there is no reference to it in the podcast. Also this week, voters in Georgia elected Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, both Democrats, as U.S. Senators. With their election and with Vice President Harris being the Senate's presiding officer, the Democratic Party assumes majority status in the Senate. For NAPS members in the postal community, this means that Senator Gary Peters of Michigan will succeed Senator Ron Johnson as chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. This has broad implications for the Postal Service, as the president will be able to nominate 4 new members to the Postal Service Board of Governors to fill the current vacancies. Also, there have been more mundane issues these past 2 weeks. After considerable, unnecessary White House drama, President Trump grudgingly signed the year-end pandemic relief bill, which included a provision converting a Postal Service $10 billion line of credit into a grant to the Postal Service for coronavirus-related expenses. Although this aid is far less than that called for in legislation previously passed by the House of Representatives, it is NAPS's hope that postal leadership will put the $10 billion to good use. Appended to the coronavirus bill was an omnibus appropriation bill that funds the federal government through September 31, 2021. In addition, the Postal Board of Governors announced that it intended to use its new rate-setting authority granted by the Postal Regulatory Commission to adjust rates to take into account the increased cost of providing mail delivery to each delivery point as the result of the shrinking mail volume, and to adjust rates to account for postal retirement and amortization payments. Let's now turn to this week's NAPS Chat. I'm honored to greet as our guest Congressman Jason Crow, who represents the area of Colorado to the east of Denver, which includes the community of Aurora, Centennial, and Littleton. Congressman Crow was just sworn in for his second term as a member of the House and has served as a member of the House Armed Services Committee and the House Committee on Small Business. As a member of Congress, Representative Crow has established a strong relationship with NAPS legislative advocate Gary Rohl and has been a leader in defending postal employees as well as the agency from political attacks and political interference. Congressman Crow, welcome to NAPS Chat and congratulations on your second swearing in this week.
Thank you, Bob. It's really good to be with you and always be good to be with my NAPS brothers and sisters and all my friends with labor.
I appreciate that. And I just want to ask you, a couple of weeks ago, I introduced in the podcast an opening question at the suggestion of your chief of staff. I intend to pose it to you. What is your earliest recollection of either receiving or sending mail?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think we all have personal connections to the mail and what it has meant to us growing up. And yeah, my earliest recollections were corresponding with my grandparents. You know, we lived in a very small kind of working class town and my first 10 years growing up and it was distant from my grandparents. So corresponding with them was my first recollection of both sending and receiving mail.
This week you began your second term in the House of Representatives And I just was curious, what was your impression of your first term in Congress?
Well, Bob, it was a wild ride to be sure. I mean, never would I have imagined when I got sworn in that first term that we would handle the longest shutdown in government history, followed by scandal after scandal with this administration, an impeachment proceeding, an impeachment trial, almost going to war with Iran, and just so many other major issues that we have faced, an economic recession, of course, and a pandemic, which continues really unprecedented in almost every way. So it was a wild 2 years. And judging by what happened yesterday during swearing in, it's going to be an interesting next 2 years as well. But my big hope is that we can, what I always like to say, right-size our politics. Because, people around the country, certainly people in my district, don't want to spend all of their waking hours thinking about politics and thinking about what the president is doing. They have their own families to raise, their own businesses to run, their own work, their own hopes and dreams. They don't want politics to consume their life. They just want government to work for them. And my real earnest hope is that we can right-size politics and get back to that.
As I mentioned in your introduction, you represent a congressional district to the east of the city of Denver. And I was just curious, how important is the Postal Service to your constituents?
It's really important. I mean, I represent about 70,000 veterans. I represent senior citizens. I have a rural area in the northern part of my district. People rely on the Postal Service to get their prescription medicine, to correspond with loved ones. In Colorado, we are predominantly a vote-by-mail state. Over 90% vote by mail. And we're one of the best vote-by-mail states in the country because we were one of the first to pilot it starting back in 2013. And of course, voting by mail doesn't work if you don't have an effective and well-financed postal service. It's instrumental to exercising the franchise in Colorado. So it really touches on so many aspects of our democracy, of our economy. We have small businesses. We're predominantly a small business community. I'm actually the only member of the congressional delegation of Colorado to be on the Small Business Committee. And small businesses in particular rely on the Postal Service to send and receive their goods, their supplies, their final products. It's really essential for the operating of our economy and the livelihoods of so many of my constituents.
Let me ask you about one of your constituents, and that is Gary Roll, who I mentioned in the introduction about how he established a relationship with you. Could you talk about how you met him and how you engage him on an ongoing basis with regard to postal issues?
Yeah, Gary is great. I mean, I first met him when I was out on the campaign trail, when I was first running back in 2017. I think we met at a Starbucks coffee, if my memory serves me right. And it was a very long and fantastic conversation. And my first impression is this guy knows the Postal Service, knows it so well. And he's been a tremendous resource for me in the last couple of years, helping me navigate really important issues regarding the service. And the other thing I love about Gary is, he is an example of the fact that democracy runs with those who show up. Because he's always there. We hold these quarterly labor roundtables. I promised my labor brothers and sisters in my labor coalition in Colorado that we would hold quarterly roundtables every quarter, so long as I'm a member of Congress. And we would get together, all the locals that I represent. We would get together and just talk about labor issues and how I can be supportive and what's going on with the various unions in my district and in the state. And he's on every one. I mean, he always shows up, which is a real dedication.
Now, you alluded to something a couple of moments ago, and that is vote by mail in the state of Colorado and its success and it being one of the trailblazers in that area. Now, as you know, as well as every American knows, over the past 2 months, Americans have been exposed to unsubstantiated allegations relating to the results of last year's presidential election. The very legitimacy of our form of government is being called into question. The Postal Service and its employees have been cast front and center within the attempt to delegitimize our government due to the prominence of voting from home, also referred to as vote by mail. Could you talk about the success of vote by mail specifically in the state of Colorado and your perspective on its implementation nationwide as a consequence of the ongoing pandemic?
Yeah, the president's attacks on vote by mail are just not true. I mean, the president is lying about it. He's making it up. It's just not true. And you can point towards Colorado as the prime example. We passed vote by mail in 2013, and that very next election cycle, participation in voting in Colorado went up over 20%. And it went up for Republicans, it went up for Democrats, and it went up for independents, it went up for everybody. So nobody's ever going to tell me that our democracy and our society is worse off because more people are exercising their right to vote. It's just not true. And what's great about Colorado is that it was actually set up and implemented by a Republican Secretary of State with many Republican county clerks. So we set it up in a bipartisan way. It works remarkably well. Everybody in the state knows that it works well. And, you know, any evidence of widespread fraud is just not true. It doesn't exist. So it's very safe. It's very effective, works well, and it allows people who are vulnerable, especially during a pandemic, to actually not have to put their life and their health at risk to exercise their fundamental right to vote. Now, I'm a veteran. I served 3 combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. I've seen people give their lives for this nation to uphold their oaths, to protect our democracy. So I take the right to vote extremely seriously. And vote by mail during a pandemic is a very serious issue, and we have to make sure we're supporting it.
You just mentioned that you served, I believe you said, 3 terms of combat as a U.S. Army Ranger in the 82nd Airborne. And you were awarded the Bronze Star, I understand. Thank you for your service, Congressman Crow. You are currently a member of the Armed Services Committee. With all this background, could you discuss the impact the Postal Service has on military veterans, knowing that, like, the Postal Service employs over 100,000 veterans?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the Postal Service, as many of your listeners know, is one of the largest employers of veterans in the nation. I mean, there's veterans preference. A lot of people that take off the uniform go to work for the Postal Service. So it's a service, you know, by and of veterans in really so many ways. But it also helps deliver prescription medications. So over half of America's veterans get their VA medications in the mail through the Postal Service, and particularly those in rural areas. And the Postal Service also helps deliver mail to folks, you know, overseas, making sure that, you know, they're picking up mail and getting into the military system. So, you know, the care packages and all the things that, you know, that I used to receive when I was far from home in remote parts of the world, it started with the Postal Service in front, you know, front lines, home front around the country. And I will never forget that.
Another position you hold is a member of the Small Business Committee. Could you talk about the importance of the Postal Service to small, home-based, and family businesses specifically?
Yeah, it was what I kind of alluded to earlier. You know, small businesses, these mom-and-pop shops, as I call them, you know, these true small businesses, you know, those under 10 employees, those are the ones that I've focused almost exclusively on in my time in the Small Business Committee, because they're the businesses that need the most help. And they're also the businesses that employ the most people. And particularly during the pandemic, these are the businesses that are also going bankrupt and shutting their doors. It's not the big companies. It's not the big franchises. They're doing just fine. It's the small mom and pop shops, the cleaners, the small manufacturers, the you know, the seamstress on the corner, the bakery down the road. Those are the businesses that employ the vast majority of my constituents. But they're also the businesses that are the most vulnerable right now. And disproportionately, they use the Postal Service to conduct their business, to receive goods, to send their goods, to do their business and their commerce every day. And it's so important that we have a strong and robust Postal Service to make sure that we're supporting that economy.
About the pandemic, you initiated a project by asking your constituents to send digital holiday cards to first responders. That is great. That's a wonderful opportunity to connect your constituents with those who put their lives on the line to protect our citizenry. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you consider asking them next year to send physical cards via the Postal Service also?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did that last year. We did it in the first year. We did physical cards and we're in digital, but we were certainly going to go back to regular cards, because I got to say, I mean, some of the memories and some of the things that I remember the most vividly about my time in Afghanistan and my time in Iraq was actually getting that package or getting that card and actually opening up and holding it in my hand and reading somebody back home saying, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for, you know, fighting for us. In the darkest days, in those most difficult times, that was just a little, that little bump that you needed, you know, that little thing to help stand you up and just keep going another day. And it's just so important.
Now, this past year, you provided strong support for the Delivering for America Act, H.R. 8015, which passed the House of Representatives. Do you have any postal priorities for the year 2021? And what do you think the Congress is going to do with the Postal Service this year?
Well, we have to make sure that in the next stimulus packages that we are supporting the Postal Service and giving it the money that it needs to maintain solvency and to continue to function and do the just critical tasks that they do. But I also think looking forward that we have to make sure we're supporting things like postal banking. You know, the Postal Service has to adapt like everybody does. And it's really past time that we give the flexibility for the service to adapt and provide those services that the communities that they serve need. And it's going to be really important to support your efforts in that regard.
Now, I know that you have to run off to vote, so I just want to ask you one final question. And that is to put your look into your crystal ball, but a limited amount of prophecy I'm asking right now. What do you expect this administration to do during the first 100 days? And how do you expect Congress to respond to those requests by the administration?
Well, Bob, I always say that my crystal ball broke a long time ago. I'm really bad at predicting the future. But I can actually say this with confidence. President-elect Biden, what he's going to do is he's going to lead. And that's what our country so desperately needs right now. You know, we have been rudderless and without leadership for 4 years. We've had a president who has put himself first, not the country. And president-elect Biden is going to put the country first, his oath. He's going to lead. He's going to start by leading us through this pandemic, by leading by example, by showing that, you know, something as simple as masks and social distancing isn't cultural warfare. It's not political warfare. It's just common sense, good health guidelines. And we're going to have a leader that's going to show that. He's going to lead by example and start taking us through this dark time. And we're going to have to push through another relief bill. And we're also going to have to build back America. You know, one of the things that I'm really excited about the Biden administration with is President-elect Biden's focus on infrastructure. You know, we have to rebuild this country physically, literally, with our infrastructure. And it's something that he has talked a lot about, and it's something that I share. And I can put tens of millions of Americans back to work at good-paying jobs, and we have to do it supporting labor jobs because those are the jobs that support a good, strong middle class. And I look forward to working with the incoming administration and getting that done.
Congressman Crow, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of NAPS Chat, and we wish you the best for the 117th Congress and wish your safety and your good health.
Thank you, Bob. Really good to be with you. Happy New Year. Be safe, be healthy, and onward.
I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and be healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.